Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The state Supreme Court this morning hears arguments over a question that could ultimately determine whether same-sex marriage becomes legal in California. As the California Report's Scott Schaefer explains, it's a matter of who gets to represent the voters in court.
Whenever a state law is challenged, the governor and attorney general are charged with defending it. But after a federal judge struck down Proposition 8 last year, neither Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger nor then-Attorney General Jerry Brown appealed the ruling. That left only the proponents of Prop 8 defending it. But do they have legal standing to represent the voters in California when no one else will? Federal Judge Stephen Reinhart wasn't sure when the case came before the appeals court last year.
Why shouldn't we ask the California Supreme Court what the law is in California?
That's exactly what the appeals court did. Today, the state Supreme Court will hear arguments on both sides of this legal standing question. To Yes on 8 attorney Andy Pugno, the answer is obvious.
If we don't have standing to defend the initiative that we qualified, promoted, and enacted into law, then nobody will.
In Pugno's mind, if they can't defend their own measure, it throws the entire initiative system into doubt.
And it really is just an absurd result that you can have the people trying to exercise this fundamental right to pass laws themselves, but then the governor and the attorney general can veto that by just refusing to defend it in court.
By definition, to have standing in court, a party must show they have a personal stake in the outcome. Theodore Boutrous, one of the attorneys fighting Prop 8, says the proponents of the ballot measure don't meet that standard.
They can't identify harm to themselves or to anybody else by the enactment of marriage equality and by allowing everybody to get married. They have no harm. They have no standing.
But UC Davis law professor Vic Amar says it's a gray area of state law. There's not a lot of legal precedent the court can rely on.
It certainly has a lot of leeway to come up with an answer that it thinks is best today.
While some ballot measures are written to include language granting proponents the right to defend it in court if no one else will, Amar notes Prop 8 did not.
And so the question is whether they are good representatives or good surrogates for the voters when the voters never really gave them that power in the text of Prop 8 itself.
The sponsors of Prop 8 didn't write it that way. If the justices tell the Ninth Circuit Court that these ballot proponents do not have legal authority to defend Prop 8, the lower federal court decision striking it down will likely stand. The state Supreme Court has 3 months to decide. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
A couple of weeks ago, the state Senate approved AB 9, a bill that would require schools to update and implement their anti-harassment and anti-discrimination policies. Seth's Law is named after 13-year-old Seth Walsh, a gay junior high school student from Tehachapi who hanged himself after years of harassment at school. There are already laws on the books to counter bullying, but the requirements are vague and schools differ in terms of their responsiveness to complaints. As Alex Liu reports, some young students in California are learning how to be proactive.
About two dozen people are gathered for a school board meeting.
The student does not feel safe and the football at school.
A debate erupts between a student and his principal over what's being done to stop student bullying.
So I've extended olive branches to all these groups and they walk away yet they come here and lie. So
we would like to respond to that comment. We were never offered anything. We were simply ignored several times when we made an appointment.
After about an hour of heated discussion, the board votes whether to take on a more active role to combat harassment.
And those in favor of beginning to more actively participate in student safety. Motion approved.
In fact, this isn't a real school board meeting. It's a mock meeting held during a unique summer camp called the Northern California Gay Straight Alliance Activist Camp. A similar one was held in Los Angeles. At the camp, student leaders train their peers to fight anti-gay discrimination and bullying. For 17-year-old camp counselor Jave Pinedo, it's a battle he knows too well. Pinedo lives in Tracy, a Central Valley city about 70 miles east of San Francisco. He came out his freshman year and says that's when the name-calling started.
There'd be some very rude remarks with derogatory terms such as faggot, things that were just totally uncalled for.
Soon, he says, verbal harassment turned to physical violence.
I did feel unsafe at some times, and sometimes I did not want to go to school at all.
The bullying got so bad, Pinedo came close to taking his own life. Instead, he decided to do something about it by participating in a campaign to educate his peers and promote tolerance. He got help from the statewide nonprofit group Gay Straight Alliance Network to start a chapter on his campus.
If it hadn't been for GSA Network, I wouldn't be alive today.
Pinedo's not alone. Experts say gay teens who are bullied are at a much higher risk for poor academic performance, substance abuse, depression, and suicide.
Well, tell me when you're ready to do a strategy chart.
At the Marin camp, 20 students spent 2.5 days learning how to make their hallways safer. They participated in seminars to teach them organizing skills and discussed strategies for promoting anti-harassment policies at their schools. Research shows that students report less bullying in schools that explicitly announce their non-discrimination policies and have teachers that intervene when they see harassment. A survey of Massachusetts schools showed that active support groups for gay students appear to reduce suicide attempts. The mock school board meeting helped the students put their newly acquired skills to the test, trying to convince counselors posing as school officials to take bullying seriously.
Okay, we're going to debrief right here.
After the meeting, the counselors gave feedback about how the students could improve their public speaking skills.
Knowing what you're going to say right before you get up is super important so that doesn't stifle the message or the message doesn't get lost.
17-year-old Shay Harleston lives in Bakersfield and is the president of his campus Gay Straight Alliance.
You can just add me on Facebook. We're all in the same group. Yeah. You'll find us.
Bye.
He left camp excited about the upcoming year. He says he wants to work with school officials to develop educational seminars to stop slurs at his school.
It might create a better learning environment for people, and they won't have to worry about walking through the halls being called retarded or faggot or
Hi, I'll miss you.
As the campers in Marin began to make their way back home to other parts of the state, many said the best part of camp was they no longer feel alone. For the California Report, I'm Alex Liu.
One final note, the Canyon Fire is drawing all available units in Southern California to Kern County this morning after a deadly plane crash Sunday set off a big blaze in Tehachapi. The Canyon Fire has destroyed a dozen homes and threatens about 600 more as it burns through roughly 9,000 acres of chaparral, grass, and woodlands. That's the California Report for Tuesday, September 6th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health happens. More information at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com.